What's up, everybody? Armand here, back with another episode. Today's guest, we have Jenna Zhang. She is the Automation Queen, CEO and co-founder of StaffNet. StaffNet automates scheduling and admin tasks for service-based businesses, and she was so much fun to talk to. We talked a lot about how Jenna stumbled into entrepreneurship. This isn't something that she originally planned, but just kind of happened and started two companies after. How she learned to stop quitting by failing forward, and how having a newborn son at the same time as starting a company, she basically had two newborns. It's pretty good stuff. Great episode. And I hope you enjoy as much as I did. Thanks for listening to the Play Hard Podcast.
Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard. Work hard, play hard.
Thank you very much for coming on. How
have you been? I'm doing great. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited.
You are the CEO and co-founder of StaffNet. Am I getting that correct? StaffNet?
Yeah, StaffNet, yeah.
Okay. And that's based out of Ottawa. What exactly is StaffNet and what problem are you solving?
Yeah, so StaffNet is a workflow optimization tool for the little guy, the small to medium businesses, basically creating automations so that while you're sleeping, while you're working other areas of your business is still operating without you having to manually do things. It was created from a pain point that I was facing in my small business. I owned a cleaning business and still do. And basically that's why StaffNet came to be, was to solve my pain point at the time.
Yeah, that's a really like great problem to be solving. How exactly are you automating these things? Is it through software or what are you doing?
StaffNet is a software and app. Basically, through the portal online or through your app on your phone, you can bring your business wherever you go ultimately, right? So in a digital age, also so many jobs working remote nowadays, teams can be very dispersed, right? You can be in the States, you can also be locally, but in and around the city. So for us, we created the automation processes to be able to set reoccurring schedules, tasks, and projects to make sure those are following up on dates and deadlines, all that stuff. Making sure automated confirmations are being sent to clients as well so that you don't have to do that extra legwork, job reporting. So anything that you're uploading to prove the job has been done, which is very much needed in the service sector, which is where we were for the cleaning business, and CRM. So for your sales, who are you following up with? Your clients, and making sure no clients fall through the cracks at all. So making sure all of these areas are firing on all cylinders so that you can create these automations to allow the guesswork and the think work out of it. So you can focus on what drives your business forward instead of these small, tedious tasks that are required. They're very, very important, but they can actually take away from your day in the grand scheme of things in terms of where you want to grow your business and take your business.
Yeah. So you're taking care of a lot of like the day-to-day maintenance of running a business, like a lot of the like in the weeds type thing so that these founders can focus on more high level stuff.
Yeah, totally. And all of these little tasks can add up to be really stressful at the end of the day. So, you know, a lot of people nowadays are doing side hustles. They're becoming solopreneurs. So they're working a full-time job and they're just driving their passion forward saying, hey, I want to take a leap of faith and, you know, start my Etsy shop or do whatever on Amazon, or maybe it's something that's one-on-one with a client. But when you're inundated with all of these small little tasks that run your business that you don't think about when you want to become an entrepreneur, it's the glitz and the glam is so exciting. I get to run my own show and be my own boss and basically see my vision come to life. But without these tasks over here, nothing is driving your business forward, unfortunately. So we take the stress out of that. So it just happens automatically in the background while you're sleeping or doing whatever. And you can focus on doing ultimately what you love and less admin work.
Yeah, no one tells you about the HR paperwork when you're starting a company.
No, absolutely. When we first started, I was working a full-time job and then evenings and weekends was dedicated to the cleaning business. And I didn't realize that I just kind of naturally fell into that role because I'm more organized than the other co-founder. And all of a sudden I was working 70, 80, 90 hour weeks sometimes because having to manage all of these areas while having to work my full-time job because we weren't in a place to take our small business to the next level and actually quit my job.
Yeah, that's, I mean, that sounds like you had a lot on your plate, but you turned that into a a company. Like you turned that problem, that something that was really bothering you, and you just, like kind of made more time for yourself. That's really awesome.
Yeah, exactly. You want to save time ultimately as an entrepreneur.
One thing I thought I saw that your company is doing really well, and I thought it was super cool, is the YouTube videos you have, kind of like the short videos that are kind of, are they to describe kind of what automations you do and how you do them, or what are you doing on YouTube?
Yeah. So we just review the features and how they can be applicable to your business in real life. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like you just said, setting up the automations and how they're just applicable to being able to save time. Cause that's our biggest thing, is our driving force is to be able to save time in your day so that you can focus on the things that actually matter in your business to you. So those little snippets are basically like little how-to guides.
Yeah, that's so great. That's like a great way of having extra content, getting yourself out there, but also as a user, really beneficial to kind of understand the product more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what got you into entrepreneurship? Because I saw you do also have the cleaning business, which has been going on for some time. What got you interested in the first place?
So at the time I worked at this big gym here in Canada called Good Life, and I was working the sales side of things. So, I was literally going out and I was canvassing and on the sidewalk, for instance, I'd walk up to you and be like, "Hey, do you want a 3-day pass to come try out my gym?" And people would either say yes or no, and you'd have to kind of convince them to come to the gym. So once you got past that barrier of getting them into the gym to come, just check it out, right? Cause they're gonna have to pay a subscription. They know the song and dance. You have to do a tour of the gym, right? So this is, you know, where you would work out. These are the change rooms. And as I'm doing these tours, our gym was disgusting. We hired cleaners. This is a big corporation. So these cleaners are getting paid pretty well. And they just
The cleaners were a corporation, or the gym was a corporation?
The gym. It's like a mega corp. It was like gym.
And it was like still unkept.
Unkept. Yeah. So the cleaners just weren't doing their job. We had made several complaints and all that stuff, but ultimately it just came down to us because we were at like ground zero. Right.
Yeah.
So we just took it into our own hands and we started cleaning the gym on our own because it was my livelihood now. Cause if I didn't sell memberships, I didn't get paid my commissions ultimately. Right. So I'm going around doing my periodic cleans with my other coworkers and stuff. And it just, that's how it was. Right. We would clean the floors, pick up the garbage, all that stuff. And we ended up just me and the assistant manager at the time, we were pretty good friends. He was kind of joking. He's like, "Well, we could do it better. We do such an amazing job of cleaning the gym, blah, blah, blah." And then one thing led to another. And all of a sudden, this idea became extremely real. And it was actually four of us when we first started the business. And then it dropped down to the two of us. And basically, in our mind, we were like, it's going to be so simple. We're going to basically hire employees, get some products, get contracts, and it's going to be awesome. And
HR paperwork, none of that.
No. And then fast forward to getting the contracts. Woohoo, that's awesome. We hired employees, and then all of a sudden, you don't realize how many little tasks kind of come to be, right?
Yeah.
So in terms of the entrepreneurial journey, it was very accidental in a way. And I don't want to say I was coaxed into it, but Dwayne, the other co-founder, he is very persuasive in being like, "We can do this, we can do it." And I was like, "Oh yeah." So it was all in, you know,
like a hype man, like a good motivator.
He's definitely my hype man, that's for sure. Yeah. And we just decided to jump full on into this and basically start our cleaning business from there. That was in 2018. And then our entrepreneurial journey continued in 2019 when we developed StaffNet. And so initially, again, by accident, StaffNet wasn't meant to be its own entity. We were just creating the software for our cleaning business at the time. I wanted to sell my solution. Then this aha moment kind of happened. And I was like, well, if I'm facing this issue, other small to medium businesses are. So that just basically opened up the doors and we ended up starting a completely new business. And it's the two of us again. So we own two businesses together as it is.
That's so awesome. Some of the best companies have all started from just fixing a problem that you're dealing with and like doing it for yourself and then realizing, I can't be the only one that's going through this. Let's see who else we can help. And I think that's so cool. That's a great way that you just stumbled into entrepreneurship.
Yeah, by total accident. And we did our due diligence though with StaffNet. So in that case, we did a lot more market research. We did because the market is so saturated online, right? And there's so many different platforms that solve the same issues that we're solving. So StaffNet was basically my ideal software. So all the features that I would like to personally see in it. We're not reinventing the wheel at all. But with that, you know, I am the little guy, essentially. So I know exactly what I'm looking for from a small to medium business point and all of the pain points that we face. So I just made my best product that I could. Well, the developers did. And I just kind of facilitated the ideas. And we ended up doing beta tests. And so from there, you know, if the beta tests didn't go well, we wouldn't have moved forward with StaffNet. But because they went so well, we just did the beta test with restaurants, other cleaning businesses, moving businesses, so service-based, and then some brick-and-mortar stores. To see who our people are, do we have people out there to begin with, right? So we definitely did a lot more research going into the second one.
As it usually goes.
We learned from our mistakes. You know, you fail forward, essentially. But yeah, it was definitely a little bit more strategic in the second one.
Yeah. And now I'm not too familiar with like automation-based software. How does this compare to something like Zapier, which is like the only one that I've ever heard of?
Yeah. So Zapier, basically we use them to automate certain processes in the background. So it basically will send a message saying, so-and-so subscribed here, send this automatic email through this other platform that you use for your email marketing, essentially. And so for our automations, this would be reoccurring schedules for your employees so that instead of doing manually scheduling, you know, on a weekly basis, monthly basis, you're not sitting there.
Yeah, it's like you're picking their schedules. It kind of does it for this is it's starting to click now. It's I'm sure you saw the light bulb in my eyes.
Yeah.
It makes sense. Okay, yeah. That's awesome.
It's really, really helpful in the sense that, you know, if you have like a scope of work or notes, whatever you do for your jobs, it's going to automatically be there for your staff. And so you're not having to go in manually and say, okay, Stacy does this, John does this. It's going to be there every week for them. With that, it sends a client confirmation saying, hey, you know, we're going to be there this week at 2:30 PM and it's sent off to the client. So really there's no middleman. It's just technology doing the work for you like it should, essentially. Yeah. And then in terms of automation for the project and task management, this is setting deadlines or different target dates as well so that you can assign to your employees saying, hey, John needs to be done, you know, this scope on this day, and it's going to be sent automatically to him. So this would be through his portal access, but through his email as well. So they're constantly being reminded as well. Then we have the team messaging, which is really fun, where you can preset messages to be sent out to your team so that you don't have to remember, okay, on Tuesday, I'm going to have to email so-and-so. You just set it, you write down what you have to do that day and you set all your automations in place and everything will fire when it's supposed to.
Yeah.
So you'd really take the think work out of it. And then for me, in terms of sales, CRM was a huge one. Who am I going to be calling on this day or make a note? This person's not ready to buy right now, but their buying window is August. So then I set the date for August. That pops up in August. Oh yeah, I totally forgot about this person I spoke to 6 months ago. If I put a reminder in my phone or in my agenda here, because I still do like the manual agenda personally because I like to see something on paper, but I still do have my online one. But if I put that in paper here, I might lose it, right? If I lose my agenda or whatever, but this is going to pop up for you and it's going to be like, hey, this is what you need to do today. And that's really helpful in terms of just staying on task and what you need to do and not letting any potential sales fall through the cracks. If you're an entrepreneur, everybody is of the utmost value.
Yeah. As someone who has to have like clear out the notifications on their phone, that would really bother me. Like I have to do that task for the day. I totally get it. One question that did pop up in my head was, how did canvassing prepare you for your role today? Because for me, like I started off by doing cold calling and it's still very much like I'm in the weeds, but I can tell that it's going to be a very valuable skill in the future. I just don't love it today. But that being said, like how did canvassing going person by person asking for memberships help you out?
Yeah, you build a really thick skin overall. You know, I'm going up to these total strangers and I would go to parks because I know parents are there with their kids. And so I would literally be walking up to them being like, hi, my name is Jenna. I work for Good Life. Would you like a 3-day pass? Something along those lines. Or if I had something of commonality to talk to them about, you know, my guy has the same t-shirt, ha ha ha, he loves Spider-Man. And then I would go on to like talk about whatever, right? So you just find different ways of speaking to people. And some people really want nothing to do with you. And that's totally fine, because I've been on the other side of it where I'm like, I don't have time. But through that, you have some really cool, genuine conversations with other human beings. I think it just, you need to take the emotion out of it. And that's what I learned was, if somebody's rejecting you, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the product, and they're not wanting to buy right now. It doesn't mean they're not wanting to buy ever, right? So it's not that they're unqualified for a buyer. It's just not right now, not yet. And so that's the thing that I always had in my mind. It's not yet. It's not yet. And there were some people I actually saw, because I would go in the same general area in their vicinity, and I would see them several times. And eventually this person might actually talk to you, because it's actually comical. They're like, oh my gosh, you again. And then you kind of make a joke out of it. And sure enough, they would come into the gym, and I've already built this haphazard relationship with them, but they're going to buy from me because I've been the one that's been persistent. And so it's interesting, because I was just writing a blog about this the other day about my son. And that we are all salespeople. We are all born with this sales ability.
I agree with that.
Because think about kids. They're so persistent. They don't get what they want. They whine, they stomp, they cry. Not to say that that's a good tactic.
Yeah.
But they continually ask, and they try and barter with you. Can I have my tablet if I do this? Can I have my tablet if I do that? Right? So they're constantly trying to negotiate with you. But they also really don't care what anybody thinks. Right? Yep. It doesn't matter to them, right? In their mind, there's like zero judgment. So they take the emotion out of everything in terms of judging themselves. And I think that's a huge aspect of a skill that I learned through Good Life, was being able to really not care what anybody thinks about me. At the end of the day, I'm going to do my job, and hopefully I make a really good commission, because if I'm worried about what, you know, John is going to think over there, then you know, like, he doesn't control my pay. I control my pay at the end of the day. So that's kind of the replay that I would have in my head overall. I'd say those are the two biggest things. And we would do calls too. We'd be do cold calls as well. So I would go up to you if you worked or were working out in the gym, say, hey, you have 5 friends that you want to bring to the gym. I'll give you a gym bag as a lead, right? And then I would bring these leads back to my phone. I'd scurry over to my phone and I'd call these people and be like, hey, Armand just gave me your number. And, you know, do you want to come try out the gym? They're like, oh my God, they're so annoyed.
This Armand guy keeps giving my number away.
For like these gym bags. And sometimes it wouldn't work out, but other times it would work out really well. And a whole family might join. So it's just, there's always a possibility of something else on the other side of it. It's just taking the emotion out of it, but it is a skill and it's still scary. I still do sales calls sometimes with our team, because I just want to be like at ground zero doing
the things.
It's really, really important. And I still kind of get nervous sometimes. I get like the sweaty armpits and I'm like, oh my gosh, are they going to reject me? Are they going to love it?
I feel that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And one thing you said that was really great was, the not right now thing, telling yourself, like, it really is the mindset you bring into it is what you get out. Like, one thing I've noticed is people really tend to react to you the way you react to yourself in your head. Like, when I go into the calls thinking like, oh, no one likes me calling them, I only pay attention to the people that were angry that day. Whereas if I go into it saying most people I talk to are going to be pretty chill, maybe once or twice you're going to get a bad one, like, I end up having some genuine conversations. And I realize it's like, I talk to the same amount of people both days, but the ones that stick in my head, the ones that I remember, are the ones that were kind of matching what I was thinking that day. So I noticed like you're maybe not right now, maybe not, like, the mindset that you have is so important going into it, and it'll really affect your performance.
It will. And if you go into it thinking, oh, nobody's going to want to talk to or buy my product, nobody's going to.
Yeah. If you go in thinking it's the greatest product ever, maybe they see you the third or fourth time at the park and they're like, you know what? This person's so happy. They keep selling their gym memberships. I'm going to give it a try.
Well, yeah, you have to believe in your product as an entrepreneur, right? So like even showing up on social media too, sometimes like we're afraid to like show ourselves fully to our friends and family. And if you're not fully open about what you're doing or what you're selling, you're really only holding back on yourself. And so it only really and truly affects you and your paycheck at the end of the day.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah. Now you mentioned your blog. What is what's your blog about?
Yeah, so our blog is about just entrepreneurship, success habits, tips and tricks on online marketing, you know, how to save money with marketing and spend no money at all with marketing, productivity hacks, all that kind of stuff. Anything that really comes into my, I love it. Anything that comes into my brain where I'm like, oh, that would be really helpful to put onto paper or put on a document to be able to share with the world. I thought would be really helpful. So I started on the platform called Medium. I don't know if you've ever
Medium,
heard of it.
I do. Yes. I'm a big fan of online writing. So yeah. I do know Medium. Yeah, that's a good one.
Okay, cool. It's an amazing platform. There's Newsbreak. There's other places like that. I started there and the reaction was really good. I submitted it to a few publications for guest posting as well. And I got a few good reactions. So from there, I just started posting on our website. And yeah, so far so good. It's been really fun.
Yeah, that's sweet. Okay, I'll have to ask you for the link to that. I'll put it in the show notes so anyone can check it out. That's cool. Yeah. All right. So switching gears a little bit, let's talk about your habits. Do you have any sort of like daily routines or are you someone who just goes about your day?
Yeah, so I'm very much a habitual person. One of my favorite books is The Power of Habit by Charles Duhigg. I don't know if you've read it before, but it's definitely a good read.
I'll check it out. I'll put it on the list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Add it to your list. I know I'm probably like you, it's like having like a long list.
yeah, it is. But I will say certain books at certain times definitely make their way up. I've been like recircling back to Atomic Habits. Any listeners will be like, this is the third episode in a row he's mentioned it. But like, I've recently been getting back into it in the sense that like, oh my God, it's just so helpful. Like actually putting it to practice. Okay. Sorry. I digress.
No, seriously, if you like that book, you will definitely like The Power of Habit.
Okay.
So he goes into the psychology of why we have habits and habit forming patterns. So cue, routine, reward essentially is the base way to explain it.
Yeah.
And for me, it was just such an aha moment. I read it when I was in my 20s. And truthfully, by nature, I'm a total quitter. Like all throughout high school, I did not do well in school at all. I never really accomplished anything that I started and nobody really ever held me accountable. I was very much alone at home. So when I read this in my early 20s, it was such a shift. You know how people say books change their lives? This literally changed my life. Because I realized I was like, I don't feel good because I'm not finishing anything. And it's at that point that I was in college and I probably wouldn't have finished, honestly, because I wouldn't have been that committed in that time. And I ended up finishing and I felt so good by the end of it. And I said, there's something to this. There's more to this. And so, we are the sum of all of our habits, essentially, right? So right now, as it stands, I wake up early in the morning and I do that for two reasons. I've kind of always been a morning person. I get more done. So I front load my day, get the heavy lifting out of the way so that the rest of my day is pretty fun and easy and more productive in the morning. And then I have my son. So their kids are go, 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 go. So I wake up pretty early around 4 to 5. And then in terms of daily movement as well, it's been really helpful in clearing my mind. So there's usually workout in there and a walk. So I expose myself to nature in some way, some form throughout the day. So those are my three main habits: waking up early, daily movement, and then a walk or being somewhere in nature, working outside if I can. So those are my main three habits, I would say.
Yeah, that's sweet. I'm sure your son takes up a lot of time in the mornings as well, getting him ready for school and everything. But how old is he?
He's not in school yet. So he's in daycare, but he's just under two. Yeah.
Oh, so he's a youngin. Aw.
No. Yeah. So he's like a ball of energy. He's like, let's go the moment he wakes up. Yeah.
Wow. So how has it been starting a company when I'm sure you're probably tired? Like he would wake you up crying and stuff. I'm just guessing, like, you know, kids, I don't have any of my own, but, how was that? That was probably like a very tiring, like phase of life.
Yeah, it was pretty exhausting. I always joke that I had two newborns. with Daphne like and that. Him. Yeah. Because they're both wanting your attention, right? Obviously, he's my priority. But in terms of, you know, our livelihood and having the life that I desire, but I also desire to give to him, there has to be a little bit of sacrifice to spend time over here working on the business as well. So it's definitely hard to balance. I time block my days. I get up early, like I mentioned, and I'm pretty much working anytime that he's sleeping. So, but I personally really yeah. enjoy working. I find a lot of passion and basically overall just like fills my cup. You know, I feel really, really yeah. good when I'm working. So it energizes me, I should say. But yeah, it's a tough balance for sure. And it's never perfect. You know, when you have so many balls in the air, one ball is going to drop at the end of the day. Yeah. So learning to, I guess, handle myself with grace and be a little bit easier on myself, that you're not going to be amazing at everything. The house is not going to look perfect. The laundry will not be done. So there's a lot of sacrifice that goes into it, but definitely worthwhile.
Yeah, no, that is so impressive. Like, much respect that you managed to juggle all of that. There's so much going in your life, but it seems just like from the short time meeting you that you've been very fulfilled by all of it and it's been going well.
Yes. Yeah, exactly.
That's good. Do you notice any of those times when you're like, you know, tired, maybe you feel a little stretched thin, can you normally tell what your triggers are for being stressed, or does it just kind of show up?
For me, I feel like my husband always knows my triggers before I do. He'll be like, "So are you stressed?" And then I'll think about it. I'm like, "Maybe I am stressed." Yeah. So, cause I'm usually go, 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 go. I'm pretty high yeah. energy too. So, I don't really realize when, you know, things might be triggering me. I'll just kind of maybe go on a rant about something with my husband. He'll just be like, "I think you're stressed about that." And I'll be like, "Yeah, I think I am too." So he's definitely more in tune with that stuff.
Yeah.
When I do start to feel that trigger though, working out is a huge, huge help. And then, like I said before, being in nature, there's something with just hearing the birds chirp, going on a walk and just kind of breathing and being by myself and at peace. It's really, really helped in terms of like calming me and centering me, which is why I try and do it daily. If it rains, I still go out for a walk most times because it's just so important. I know that it's going to help me in the long run to be able to be the most productive version of myself in the day.
Yeah, totally agree. Big fan of that myself.
Yeah.
There's like a canyon. Okay. There's a canyon by my house that I love to just like walk around. It's really cool because like once you start spending enough time, you see like the different seasons of like your little nature area, you see it, like how it evolves. But it yeah. was really interesting. One time I did a walk where I put on my headphones and I was listening to like calming music and something not as much, just not nature. And it was like, I didn't even pay attention to my surroundings. Like I was just kind of mindlessly wandering. And then that's when I realized, I mean, for me personally, I just got to be fully in that walk. Like I got to listen to the nature sounds, listen to like whatever's going on. Cause I can't be distracted.
Yeah, totally. I think being present is huge. And that's what nature teaches you. And there's been so many aha moments where if I'm working through something or I'm not even necessarily looking for an idea, it's just an idea kind of smacks me in the head where yeah. I'm on my walk and I'm almost like stumbling to find my phone to like write it down because I'm like, "Oh my gosh, this is so good." So it's like a message for the team or the blog yeah. or whatever. So there's been so many just huge moments on these walks where, yeah, it's just probably one of the most valuable things that I can do in my day. And it's so funny because I don't know if this is your case, but prior to the pandemic, I always wondered, like, why do people go for walks if they don't have a dog? It was just kind of weird to walk aimlessly. Yeah. And not that I judged them, but I thought it was kind of odd. It was like, where are they walking to? You know, I get go for a run because you want to work out, but walking is super underrated for working out in general, just like being able to get the blood flowing, but just being forced to not be able to go anywhere. So the only place I have is outside at that point.
Yeah.
And walking, I became so addicted to it. And it's just the best addiction ever.
It's you get this, and only people who walk will understand, you get this like clarity. It's totally. Just like, even if you are walking in like all these racy, repetitive thoughts, after a while, they just kind of go away. But one thing that you might like is what I like to do is instead of writing, because sometimes I'm just walking and like, I don't have to stop or anything. Voice memos have been a really great way So just like talk and say it and then just re-listen to it at home. Just because I really like writing on paper, but I'm not going to bring like a notebook or anything to my walk. So I just do the voice memo and then re-listen and like try to scrabble everything down. But yeah.
Beautiful. I love it. Yeah. Look at this. I'm the automation queen and you're teaching me automations. I love it.
That's funny. Have you had to get rid of any habits to be successful? Is there anything you've had to remove from your life to make it happen?
Yeah. Watching TV.
Really?
I am a total TV addict. And so if I start, then it's really hard to get off the wagon. Like I said, back in my childhood years, I was very much left to my own devices. So what do you do as a kid? You eat junk food and watch TV all day if you can. Yeah. And so that's what I got used to. And I love TV. And so whatever it was on TV that I would just be like stuck to it, glued to it for hours. So not that I'm like that now at all. I can definitely turn off the TV, but I'll have that little voice if I start watching it more consistently where I'm like, watch TV before bed instead of reading. So it's kind of like the angel and the devil on your shoulders, right? So I'll do a little bit here and there, but nothing too much because I know that I'll definitely really want it. And I do the same thing with my son too. I'm pretty strict in terms of being limiting the TV time or screen time in general, because I had so much access to it as a kid that it really deterred me from doing things like hanging out with my friends more, you know, playing more sports, all that kind of stuff. So TV was like probably my worst habit.
So when TV kind of shows up more than it should in your life, that's kind of when you know, okay, something's off. I need to do like some self-assessment here.
Yeah. Like, am I trying to escape something in work, or am I just like feeling kind of like low about something, whatever it might be? Like, usually it's an escape because you're trying to turn off your mind. And that's, you know, obviously something that you want to assess and be in tune with.
Yeah. And now you talked a lot about fitness. You used to work at a gym and your husband owns a gym. What got you started into fitness in the first place?
Probably my husband. So like when I was a teenager, I would do track and field and little things like that. Nothing too competitive. Again, I was a quitter by nature. So I
wouldn't finish the season.
No, I didn't excel. And I remember there was this one teacher. She was like, I think you're really good at track and field. And I'm like, yeah, let's do it. And I was actually pretty decent. I was pretty quick at the 100-meter run, but I was like, meh. Nobody's pushing me. And she tried to, I'll give it to her. She tried to, but I just didn't have those positive habits at that point. And I wasn't necessarily at that point in my life, unfortunately. So when I started dating Eric, my husband, he was a trainer at the gym and this was his whole life. He trains people. So he has to, you know, walk the walk, and that's what he did. And so I started training more with him. And then probably the second year of a relationship, CrossFit blew up. And naturally we just kind of hopped on the bandwagon. We thought, oh, this is really cool. And for me, it was again, one of those aha moments in my life where I was like, I'm good at this. I really, really like this. Yeah. And so it's like quick, fast paced. It's kind of like a race. I'm very competitive too. So I'm a quitter by nature, but I'm also very competitive too. So, this like just triggered something in me. And basically from then on, we've been training buddies ever since. And he started his own gym in 2018. So he started his business the same year that I did. And it's been amazing ever since. And it's a huge part of our lives, but also trying to get into our son's life as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. And something to be said about like that competitiveness, but also quitting. It's a way that someone once described me, because I'm very much the same way in both of those things, was that I'm so competitive that sometimes I would rather not compete because I don't want to deal with the loss. Like, I don't want to not be like whatever the competition may be. Like, I would just avoid competition because of that. And then that was a common theme that happened in my life where I had to do some thinking on like, I love competing, but like, why is it that I can't just, you know, lose with grace? And you just kind of figure out, like, that helped me a lot in the journey of not quitting, I guess, because that's always a big thing. What did you do to raise that hurt or get over that hurdle?
Learning to take the L. Failing forward. I had at the gym, I had an amazing mentor. He was my manager at the time. He taught me what grit was, honestly. He said, Jenna, you're really good at what you do. You just lack grit. And for somebody to say that they believed in me was great, but this guy was somebody that I really looked up to. And I thought, oh, okay, this guy believes in me, but you're saying I lack grit. And so automatically I was like, well, I want to do better. I want to have grit. I want to do this.
Yeah.
And so he taught me about failing forward, even though it's a loss. If you learn from something, it's a different kind of L. So, you know, learning to learn through your losses is only going to bring you forward, because if you choose to opt out, you're not going to learn anything at all. And you're going to be actually further back from where you were. At least if you lose and you learn,
yeah,
you're going somewhere, you're going in a direction. The way I was going was nowhere, essentially. Right. So that was a good learning point for me, and learning to take the L, and that we're not always going to get W's.
Yeah. And I think you did another really great trait that makes successful entrepreneurs, which is taking feedback and doing it right away. Like, yeah, if you would have just heard, you need to be a little more gritty, and you're like, yeah, yeah, I do, and then keep going about your life the same way. Not much. Again, you're not failing. You're going in circles. Not much is going to change. But you took that and you said, you know what? Yeah. Finally, there's a word for what I've been doing. Let me put it into play. And you fail forward. That's good.
Yeah. And I think it depends on the people in your life too, right? If you have mentors, you know, if they're your parents, people that you work with, whoever, these people, you know, you look up to, and they facilitate these conversations to be able to inspire and drive you forward. And without that conversation, and at that point, it was one of my performance evaluations, you know, so I'm at work, we've all done those at work before. Yeah. And you kind of sit there and you're like, yeah, 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 whatever. And this was not my end all be all for a career either. So I wasn't like necessarily totally bought in. But yeah, for me, because I looked up to Rob, and he was such a big point in my life at the point, you know, he was working out with us. So he was giving me that competitive edge to get better.
Yeah.
But also he was doing skill work with me on the daily basis to become a better salesperson. So yeah, overall, I think it depends on the people you let within your life. And that's a big point to touch on, not letting people into your inner circle that are not going to move you forward, because there's some people that they're good human beings, but they not be for you and where you're going.
Also, this Rob guy sounds like a rock star manager for a gym. Like, he's just like training everybody, like lifting you, making you your better self. That, yeah, that sounds awesome. It's great to have people like that in your life.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, I couldn't have done it without him. He's like literally a ball of energy. He's vibrating, that kind of person, where he would walk out of the room mid conversation and come back in the middle of the conversation. He's just like a ball of energy, but in the best way possible.
That sounds funny.
So
another thing that you mentioned that you like to do is meditate. How did you find that in the first place?
Meditation. Yeah, it was just basically through yoga, with, you know, doing yoga in the past years. I love Shavasana at the very end, where you get to sleep and I just lay there and fall asleep. And yeah, I just realized there was this weird like current almost going through your body at the end of it, where your body's almost like vibrating and just you're vibing with the earth, and sounds hippy dippy and all that stuff. But, you know, through guided meditation, which some of them were doing at the end of these classes, I was like, well, that's kind of cool. I like this. So I downloaded an app. I forget what it's called, Insight or something like that. And they had these guided meditations from all over the world. And started listening to that occasionally. I was nothing religious, and it really helped. And then what's funny was, through my pregnancy, I wanted to do natural birth. So I started listening to these pregnancy meditations, and then you like would visualize the baby coming out naturally and all this stuff. And there's crazy, crazy science behind visualization and being able to manifest where you want to go in life. And through meditation is a vessel to be able to do that.
Would you say it helped?
Yes, 100%. Yeah, 100%.
I totally agree with the visualization thing. One thing that was weird that I noticed was it was in sports. Like it was like in basketball. I was visualizing just one certain type of shot. Like nothing too big, but I just kind of wanted to practice, see what happened. And one day I was playing And I caught the ball and like without even thinking, I can't even explain it. Like without thinking, I just did that exact like right form, right shot, right thing. And it went in and I was like, oh my God, I practiced that in my head and it worked. Yeah. Like it was kind of cool. But yeah, I definitely believe visualization works. And that's one of the things I wish I did more, but.
Yeah. And it helps with sales too, visualizing the types of conversations and imagining what the person's going to say and any, what's the word I'm looking for? Any kind of comebacks in terms of, you know, oh, I can't do this and stuff like that. Being able to be like, okay, this is what this person's going to come back and say, and I'm going to reply with this. So yeah, being able to visualize and know what you're going to, your next move is kind of puts you 10 steps ahead. And there's so many athletes that speak to this, you know, especially you're talking about basketball. We're huge NBA fans here. And they speak about visualization all the time where it becomes automatic. Your brain's already in it before you're like consciously thinking about it. Your subconscious is beyond amazing.
What else do you do for fun?
Yeah, for fun. So we do a lot of training. I would say outside of hanging out with my son would just be writing. I've just taken on this hobby of writing the blog, but then also just kind of writing on my own. Not to say I'm writing a book or anything like that, but I found such great insight in terms of learning about myself by putting, you know, pen to paper and just expressing different ideas, thoughts, all that kind of stuff.
That's so awesome. You're talking to the right person. I love writing so much.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Got it. Do you have a daily journaling habit practice?
Yeah.
Habit,
whatever? Yeah. Yeah. So you've heard of the 5-minute journal, I'm sure.
I have not.
No. Okay. So this is it's a pretty big business. It's just the 5-minute journal. And basically you go on and you write your gratitude for the morning, the afternoon, the evening. And basically it's just journaling, like what you're thankful for at the end of the day. And what you want to manifest for the following day as well.
That's pretty sweet. Yeah. I'll check it out.
Yeah. It's called the 5-minute journal. It's really cool. And it's something that if you can't do full on journaling, which I do sometimes, but it's not feasible in your day to day, if you have, you know, several different high tasks to do, this 5-minute journal really only takes 5 minutes.
Yeah. And that goes back to the habit setting of, as long as you show up every day, you know, you're not always going to do your full, however many pages, but at least as long as you get a couple words in there, like you're still building that muscle of doing it every single day, which is what's important.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And going back to the habits, I should have mentioned, I have something called the power list too. Have you heard of that before?
I haven't.
No. So it's called winning the day, and you basically, it's habit forming. So there's 5 tasks that you put it on for the day. So we limit to 5 just because you're not going to accomplish 20 things in a day. It's not realistic.
Very true.
And yeah. And we've all done
to
that.
Anyone who's tried, you realize very quickly. No. Yeah. And if you do, like, congrats, pat yourself on the back, but it's just not sustainable. It's just not, like, life gets in the way every single time.
Yeah. Unless you're AI, like there's really no way in continuing that pattern. Right. So, and it feels like crap if you can't continually accomplish what you want on your list. Right. And you can't check it off. And there's a dopamine drip whenever you check something off your list. So it feels good. You're a happy chemical in your brain. So with the power list, you list the top 5 things that need to happen, but things that you want to create habits out of. So I want to read 10 pages of my book a day. Cool. Add that to your power list and add the 5 things. If you get through your power list early in the day, you've won the day, right? Mm-hmm. So the more times you win the day throughout your week, your month, your year, makes you become a winner, essentially creating these solid habits. And eventually you can take reading 10 pages off of your power list because it's become a habit. You no longer need to think about it. It's automatic. Yeah. So that's the beauty of the power list.
That's really cool. How, okay, this is one thing that I've been wondering. How do you continue your habits through the weekend? So like your weekend's like sometimes a little bit different than the week because, you know, maybe your work is not required. Like you don't have to go to the office. You don't have to like be in a certain place. A lot of people like to continue still working, especially entrepreneurs. They're kind of required to be working, you know, longer hours, more weekends, but do you have a way of continuing your habits through Saturdays and Sundays?
Yeah, so my schedule is pretty concrete. I time block things, so I know when my son will be napping or when we're going to be doing things. But like you said, life happens. Maybe there's a wedding or there's some kind of birthday party going on and stuff. So continuing through the weekend, I think, can be really difficult because you have to prioritize certain things and some things will definitely fall off. So I think as an entrepreneur, learning to prioritize the high ticket items versus the low ticket items is really, really important. So, you know, if I do this on Saturday and I put something else to the back burner for Monday, will that impact my business in a negative or a positive way? So that's if you great. Have to make sales calls on a Saturday because you find that's the best outcome, don't put that off till Monday, even though it sucks doing it on a Saturday when you want to hang out with your family and your friends and all that stuff and go for beers on the patio, get that done. So yeah. Part of being an entrepreneur is doing stuff that you don't want to do sometimes, unfortunately. Yeah. So it's just prioritizing.
How did you learn prioritization? Because that's a tough skill.
It's so tough. It's so tough. Yeah. Through failure, honestly, having like
fail forward.
So, you know, making these long to-do lists, being like, I'm superwoman today and thinking I'm going to accomplish all these things. And so now if in my mind or on a piece of paper, I write all of my to-dos, I prioritize it from 1 till 20, for example. And when I get to 5, that's what's happening for today. And then the other items, we'll see if, yeah. So basically being able to say what's going to move my business forward. And that's always the question. What's essentially going to help move my business forward today? If this is something small in terms of, I don't know, example, doing some sort of paperwork that doesn't need to be done right this moment, it can be pushed off till next week. That's not going to get done. Even though it's so small, it would feel good to check off. We're going to push it, but the want is there. I'm like, I just want to check that off. I just want to do it real quick, yeah. You know? So being able to have that self-restraint that, you know, we need to do the things that we don't want to do right now.
Yeah. The discipline of knowing you have to take down that bigger task versus sometimes. Yeah. I do that all the time. Sometimes I'll look at my to-do list and I'm like, that one's a little bit easier. Maybe move it to the top just because it'll get done quicker and like we'll call it a day. But it there's something to be said about like that task switching in your head. Like you don't really, it's harder to get in the zone when you're doing like 5 different things at once versus taking on that big task, just getting in the flow state, getting it done. And then you deal with the other things.
Yeah, exactly. Like getting into that state with like no distractions, which is why I love, I don't know, with Android, but with Apple, they have all of the silencing of notifications now.
Yeah. Oh my God.
It's so nice.
Yeah. I do love that very much.
Yeah. Where you can just silence the world and everything will be fine. Don't worry. But you can just focus on your one task. And for me, I'm a tab person in my browser. So I constantly like will have like 20 tabs. So I had to like learn to put it down to one so I can focus on the one thing. And it comes back to prioritizing, you know, I'm not going to finish this YouTube video over here right now. That can be closed for now and like focus on the one thing.
Yeah. And I'm sure as the automation queen, you have all the settings for the different iPhone ones that what the time blocks and everything.
Yeah. So yeah.
Pops exactly. Right up.
Yeah. And it cues me. Okay. This is where you're working right now. I'm like, okay. Yeah. Or even the bedtime one, it comes up. You need to start getting ready for bed now because you're going to wake up early tomorrow and pay the consequences if you don't.
Very true. That one's a big help. Yes. All right, Jenna. Well, thank you very much for coming on. It's been so awesome talking to you.
Thank you so much for having me. This has been a blast.
Yeah. Now I only have a few final questions and then we can get going. So first of all, what kind of music have you been listening to lately? Any artists or any
genres? Yeah. Have you heard of the genre country EDM?
I haven't. Never never thought I would either.
No, right? Well, you think about like Avicii and stuff like that. Yeah. You kind of dabbled a bit into it. But I'm huge into EDM, fast pace, you know, like workout, all that stuff. And I've kind of dabbled a bit in the country a little bit. And so, yeah, all of a sudden I was like, blew my mind that there was this country EDM. So that's what I've been listening to lately, especially for the summer. It's kind of nice patio with country, but a little bit of a hype vibe to it with the EDM. So if you get a chance, there's lots of Spotify playlists or wherever you listen, sure. But yeah, country EDM.
I guess that's what they're listening to up in Canada is country EDM.
At least in Ottawa over here.
All right. I'll try to find some good ones and throw it in the show notes also. Cause I'm very curious about this. What about any favorite shows or movies, whether recently or in the past? I know TV is your thing. Mm-hmm. I don't know if this is triggering, but.
No, yeah, I'm so triggered. probably my favorite TV show is The Office. Like if I see it on TV, I have to turn it on because, I've seen every episode several times. The Office is always my go-to. And the funny part is when I was in labor, like I was in like intense pain. I had The Office on in the background the whole time because that's what kept me like sane almost because I was like, this is my happy place. This is what I like.
I recently heard this one podcast where Rainn Wilson was on and he talked a lot about his experience in The Office. Apparently Dwight's best moments were unscripted, like all stuff he did improv right there.
Oh, I believe it.
Yeah. And he talked about what it was like working with Steve Carell and how he's just like a master at like, you could throw anything his way in the middle of a scene and he would go off on a tangent about that in character and then bring it back. And just like continue going on script. And everyone was just like, how does Steve Carell do this? Yeah. It's what a great show.
That's crazy. You'll have to send me the link to that podcast.
Yeah,
I'll definitely listen to it.
It's have you ever heard of Armchair Expert with Dax Shepard?
Oh yeah.
It's one of my favorite podcasts lately. It's really good. But the episode with Rainn Wilson is awesome. Okay. Yeah.
I'll give that a listen. Yeah. That's awesome.
It's cool hearing like, you almost hear like insider insights into like the acting world, just because they were like, he's married to Kristen Bell. He was also an actor himself. And then you have like Rainn Wilson on The Office. Like they just talk about the industry in ways where I was like, wow, I didn't know that's how some of our favorite shows came to be, you know?
It's more of like a human viewpoint of things. Yeah.
And what books are you reading right now?
Right now I'm reading E Squared. So it's by Pam Grout and it's talking about manifestation. So basically these experiments that she'll get you to do to put into the universe to let you know that the universe is conspiring for you. So again, hippy dippy, but I definitely believe that the energy that you put out will come back to you like a boomerang, right? She just talks about, you know, asking the universe to send you certain signs. So I asked for a red ball at the park. And then sure enough, we went on a walk one day and there was a red ball at the park. Now, there's something to say about like, if you want to see a yellow car, you're going to start to see yellow cars everywhere and stuff like that. But it's really interesting because she has you do these little things. And there's a reply in terms of my experience from the universe to what I've been asking of it. And so it's been really cool to do these fun little experiments and, you know, you give it 72 hours and you put it out there and then it kind of comes back like a boomerang. And so that is one of my favorite ones. And then, so I'm reading that and I'm rereading Chasing Excellence by Ben Bergeron. He's a CrossFit coach and he talks about just being awesome.
is it like The Habit of Excellence or is it a workout book?
No, it's just Chasing Excellence. So just being excellent at what you do, like you just give anything 100% essentially and just not going haphazard into it. And he's the coach to some of the top athletes. So getting his insight on it has been really, really cool. And so I'm rereading that. I've read it before, but you know, you always pull out like little nuggets of information going back a second time or a third time.
The way I like to think about it, especially with, like you mentioned earlier, the books that kind of changed your life. As your life changes, so does the lens you read these books with. So when you go back to reread it, it still has, you know, a strong effect, but now you're like, it's always great. I love rereading books to see what did I put into practice since I last read it and what can I put into practice today? Like, what do I have a better understanding of? So I totally agree. Yeah. I love rereading books.
Yeah, that's beautifully put. You're going to have a different lens in the different area in your life that you're in.
And now finally, where can people find you?
Yeah, so we're at Staffnet on Instagram, and then for myself personally at Jenna Zhang, and then we're on LinkedIn. So just by my name, Jenna Zhang on LinkedIn, and then StaffNet Scheduling for LinkedIn. And those are generally the places that we hang out. And our website is staffnet.ca, and we have our blog up there as well.
Sweet. Sounds good. Yeah. And I'll make sure to put all that stuff at the links below. Thank you very much for coming on, Jenna. It was great talking to you.
Thank you so much.